down in Missouri when I heard this lullaby. While the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Showing Missouri, History of Missouri, one county at a time. This time we are in Stone County. Formed February 10th, 1851, the 100th county formed out of 511 square miles in beautiful southwest Missouri. Named for William Stone, an English pioneer, served as the very legendary judge in Taney County. We are joined by Gordon Weathers, the presiding commissioner. Commissioner, thank you so much for the hospitality.
Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you coming down to Stone County.
Larry Sifford, a historian, but has little roots from where I'm from, right?
I do. I have some roots down around Butler County and southeast Missouri, Puxico.
We were just down, you know, Stoddard County's home to kind of where the flats start, because you got Puxico, a little bit that St. Francis River, and then it turns flat until the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Yeah, the Idlewild Hills flow alongside the right along Highway 51. And
so folks listening to this podcast might remember the name Chris Sifford. That worked for Governor Carnahan, passed away in the crash. Is that kin to
my
you?
My cousin.
Is that right?
He was my cousin.
It is a tremendous legacy that was left from him. And then now there's a college professor that I had. Nicole got me through college algebra. Sifford family is highly, highly regarded back from where I'm from.
Right. Chris was quite a young man.
Yeah.
He was a good man.
Tony DeLong with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Thank you so much for having us.
Pleasure to be here. Glad for you coming down to Stone County.
And Hank Smythe, the commissioner. Appreciate the time, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming to Stone County.
So the way I read it, the around the 1750s, 60s, even up to 1800, the Delaware Indians came and immigrated here and settled here and stayed till they were kind of ran out into the Kansas in 1830. The first white settler that set up a trading post, I should say, James Yoakum. Is that how it's said around here?
Yoakum.
Yep. Yoakum,
that's correct.
Mm-hmm. French explorer set up a trading post around 1790 at the junction of the White and James Rivers. Now, we're taping this here in the very historic county courthouse. Commissioner, how would you get to the confluence of the James and White Rivers from here?
It's just right up the road here, the James River, as you turn into Galena, the James River is right there.
And that's where the White connects with it?
Well
the White connects down Cape Fear, south of Cape Fear.
Yeah. Cape Fear,
yeah.
And that would have been where his trading post was set up. Always like to ask how your families came to live here. Commissioner Weathers, how'd your family come to live in Stone County?
I was the first one in my family to live here. I was born and raised in northwest Indiana. I spent my summers in Bald Knob, Arkansas.
I don't know what that is.
That's where my dad was born and raised. And so my dad was born in the Ozarks, and his family moved to Michigan to farm tomatoes. And so that's how his family got to Michigan, and I was born and raised in Indiana. And, you know, I got here the way a lot of people got here. In 97, I got invited to come down to my in-laws who had just retired here and spent a week down here. We drove go-karts in Branson. We went to shows. We fished Table Rock Lake. We fished Lake Taneycomo. Spent time on the lake, water skiing, just enjoying boats. I went back home that day, and that next week I went home and I quit my job. Place I had worked since I got out of college, had been with them about 8 years, and they couldn't believe it. They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm moving down to Kimmerling City, Missouri." And they said, "Why would you do that?" And I said, "Have you ever been to Kimmerling City, Missouri?" And my boss said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Then I can't explain it to you."
Need to visit.
So what do you do when you're not being a commissioner?
I sell digital marketing, magazine publications.
Nice. Mr. Sifford, how'd you come to live here in Stone County?
Well, my mother's side of the family was from the Ozarks. They actually I was born at West Plains, and then as a young boy, I grew up in a little town called Gainesville over in Ozark County, which is an attaching county over here to our Taney County and Stone County.
We got Joe Scott from Poplar Bluff, the old Gainesville Gunner.
That's it.
Played a lot of basketball out of Gainesville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Played a lot of ball over there. And we used to, in 1956, I got on a school bus at Gainesville, and we went to Shepherd of the Hills. We'd read the book as a part of our curriculum, and they brought us over here and got us off the bus and let us, at that time, Shepherd of the Hills was basically the old Matt's cabin and one building there that had a flat platform on top of it and had a a looking glass that you could drop a nickel or a dime into, and it would run for 15 or 20 seconds. You probably remember it, and you could look out across the hills. Remember that they had up there? And so I had already fallen in love, because Gainesville it was like the Mayberry of the Ozarks to me as a kid growing up.
They're still very proud. They don't have a stoplight in Ozark County anywhere.
And it was just a wonderful place to grow up as a boy. And so after I got out of the Navy, I was stationed at the Naval Air Station in St. Louis. And after I got out of the Navy, I lived up there near where my wife was from, a little town across the Mississippi River. And I told her, I said, when my boys get old enough to start school, I'm taking them back to the Ozarks. And we honeymooned here, so in Stone County, and actually over on, well, actually it was in Taney County on Rockaway Beach, but then we came over here. And so 1982, I bought property. 83, I moved down here, built a resort on the lake, a small one. I bought property on the shoreline and started building a little resort, and did that. Done a numerous, developed some land down in this part of the country, dealt here with the commission before and subdividing, and so that's how I got here, and that's what I've done. Played a little bluegrass music for about 18 years with actually one of our members of our band was probably the most renowned of the group. It was Dean Webb, who was one of the Darlin' Boys on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah.
And he played mandolin for us for 18 years. And we played all over this part of the country and did a lot of shows down on the lake. Been about, I think if I'm not mistaken, on the lake shows, we did 200 shows down there at Kimberling City. Yeah. So music and that type of thing has kind of been my life. And living here and raising my boys here. Now I have four generations of us here now. Myself, my son, my grandsons, and now my great-granddaughter is here. So kind of got roots.
Yeah.
Stuck them down, left them stick here, but it ain't no different than actually Ozark County and Stone County are almost identical in you know, the way they, the beauty of them, you know. Bull Shoals Lake.
Tied in with the lake, yeah.
Yeah,
Mr. DeLong, how'd you come to live here in Stone County?
I was born and raised here. I'm fourth generation Stone County, and my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents moved up here from Arkansas, just across the line. Some of them were from Omaha, Arkansas, and the others were down by Greenville, down in that area. And so they moved up here into just the Lampe area down by Carr Lane, as they call it, where Dogwood Canyon is. And then my dad worked all over this countryside. And then he had a chance, when he got out of the service, to buy a farm right up at the corner of the northeast corner of Stone County, and was farming and stuff, just a little south of Boaz, where the Heine Winery is. And then we lived there several years and then moved to Crane. And I've lived in Crane basically all my life, except a few years in the service and a couple times when I worked for a railroad or I lived over in Aurora.
But now tell me how you get to Crane from here in the courthouse.
Well, you have to go back. Anyway, it's just 11 miles up the road on what's now 413 Highway and stuff. Famous for the Crane Creek and the McLeod Trout. And of course, the Crane Broiler Festival, which it used to be the chicken capital of Missouri at one time.
I like
that. McLeod Trout is a really interesting story, Tony. Tony, tell that story of how that trout got here.
Well, there's always a couple different spins. Some people say it's originally here, but it was originally brought from Oregon, the way I understand it, and put in the stream up here where the Crane Creek originally starts at the spring, and has been raised from there. And because of the cold type of water it is, and the vegetation and life that they have, it prospered quite a bit. Now the Conservation Department owns it, and it's restricted on catch and release only. But it's quite a place to come and fish. People from all over the world come and fish Crane Creek just to try to catch the McLeod trout.
Yeah, the story goes that the way I heard it from a local trout fishing guide, was that it comes from the McLeod River in California. It's the only place that this McLeod trout existed. And the story that I heard was that they had come across, they put them on the train out there, and the train, and they were coming this way, and they were bringing those trout somewhere to this part of the country, but that train broke down in Crane. So they So those letting those fish die, they dumped them all into the Crane Creek. And the way I understand it, they had dumped it in some other creeks along the way, but the Crane Creek was the only creek where they survived, and they repopulated themselves. So legend has it today that those are in two places, the McLeod River in California and Crane Creek are the only two places, you know, all the other places, so by legend, that those fish were put, they didn't survive.
That's awesome. Commissioner Smythe, how did you come to live here in Stone County?
I'm a native, like Tony is. I've lived my whole life in Stone County. My parents came here, my great-grandparents came here back in the mid to late 1800s. On my dad's side, they came from Kansas. On my mom's side, they came from Tennessee. And both set up, well, actually, my mom's family lived up around the Crane area, Hurley area, was raised there. Still have a lot of relatives up in that area there. My dad's side came actually to the Crane area also. My grandfather moved. Back then, it seemed like there was a lot of large families. You know, 9 or 10 kids was not unusual for some of these families.
I'm just one of 10.
Yeah, well, I'm one of 9. And I think my mom and dad's side both, you know, were up there in the 8 to 10 people. But anyway, my grandfather, he moved. He had several brothers. Some went to different states. Some stayed in the area around the northern part of the county. My grandfather moved to Reed Spring, which is south of here. And that's where he got started. He was a preacher and a farmer. And then my dad, well, he was a preacher and a construction worker. So, you know, they're just a native around this area. Watch the area grow and change, you know, completely.
Well, it has. The first meeting of this of the county court, I read, was at a private home in Cape Fair. And then the county seat here, I read it was first called Jamestown.
It was called Jamestown, that's correct.
Why'd they change it?
Well, it's kind of like the same reason we went from Lakeview at Branson West. Is there's another town that was called Jamestown and better recognized in Christian County, that area. And again, that was where some of the Indians had settled too, as Jamestown. And so that's the reason they changed it when it officially became, you know, the county seat and stuff. So.
And named after a mineral, stone?
Uh-huh, a Galena lead.
Okay.
Was mined here for years and years.
So I was reading here where once it became a county, it had a county seat, and they settled on Jamestown, which was changed to Galena. But they sold lots and appropriated $376 to build the first courthouse in 1853. But from everything I read, it was not much of a courthouse. It was a little bit, maybe wasn't built to last. And also, building something in 1853 in southern Missouri you were taking some chances, right? Not a lot stayed standing through the 1860s, but it says here the building was never particularly, it wasn't something the citizens were all that proud of, so they weren't too sad to see it go. In 1870, they said December 12th, the court appropriated $4,000 for a new courthouse, and then this just has to grate on every commissioner I've ever met, pinches every penny of the county money. It had to appropriate an extra $986 to complete the project. And they accepted it on May 4th, 1874. Now, as a commissioner, that's just got to grind your gears, I assume, right?
Well, yeah, it does. you're correct in that we do pinch pennies.
I've never met a commissioner that don't. I always tease Hobbs. I think they take y'all, when you get to have a commissioner, no matter what your view of money was before, they take you and teach you to become the cheapest version of yourself.
Well,
right?
Yeah, probably
it's, well,
so.
I mean, but it's kind of the way folks want it. It's public money, so you got to be tight with it, right?
Yep, you do. Otherwise, you're going to hear about it.
So. Make every penny go as far as you can.
Now, yeah. I was mayor of Poplar Bluff. We had some change orders, but a change order, 20%, 20, almost 25% of the project cost, boy, that's one. Woo! Yeah. You only get by with one of those, and you probably ain't doing business with the county anymore.
Yeah, that change orders, well, that doesn't come lightly. You know,
So it's funny, depending on your career before you're a commissioner, a lot of careers, you don't run into change orders. You just assume it costs what it costs. That was when I became mayor. I was like, a change order? What's that mean? It was like, oh, that's normal. I'm like, what? This does not sound right. It took me a minute to choke down change orders. I did see they were common, but I didn't like any of them. No, I never got a change order where it was cheaper.
We recently had a been working with a an engineering company or an architect that is designing a building for us, and that was one of the questions I asked them. I said, whenever there are change orders, I said, do you charge extra for that? And he let me know that right away, you know, that they did. So I said at that time, well, you know, we've got to really tone back on the change orders, you know. So
if you figure it out, you should teach a class.
Yeah. So far, it hadn't worked.
So that courthouse was, it says better accepted by the community, but you know, not, you know, building a building lasting 50 years, if it was built in 1870, still pretty good. But in July of 1919, everybody realized that the building was not salvageable, and they had to do something different. So the citizens passed a $50,000 bond to build a new courthouse. And from what I read, to show that they had learned a little something, this only cost $47,600. So this time it came in $2,400 under.
That, of course, I wasn't around to know how much it cost at that time. But we did celebrate the 100th anniversary on this building here just a few years ago. And whenever it was constructed, there was a cornerstone put in this building. We had a hard time finding out where that cornerstone was. We had a good idea that it was on this one corner down here, but we didn't know exactly where that was. So we had a mason come in and told him where we thought it was. So he started chiseling away. And after a day or so of chiseling, he finally got to the rock that he could pull it out of there. And sure enough, there was a copper box in there that was sealed up. And the stuff would look probably the same way it did when they put it in there 100 years.
What all was in there?
Yeah.
So what all they put in the box?
There was coins in there, some paperwork, some sale ads at the time. So it was fascinating. You know, it seemed like there was a loaf of bread for a nickel, you know, other food items that, you know, it's really hard to believe, you know, how cheap it was back then. But everything that we found in there ended up at the Historical Society in Crane. So it's all on display up at the Crane Historical Society.
That's awesome that folks thought, you know, you see those things and folks either forget to ever go look at them, or they didn't quite do it like yours said. They didn't quite put in the cornerstone and the time capsule stuff. That's awesome that they did that and you were able to go fish that out of there.
We put some items in there whenever we got done with it, got ready to put it back in there. We put stuff into another box, you know, the current stuff, and sealed it back up inside the wall there. And hopefully 100 years from now, well, somebody will open it up. And I don't remember exactly what it was all we put in.
Well, it'll be like, I can't believe them folks lived that way back then.
Thought about putting a CD in there, and I'm sure 100 years from now they'd think, well, what's this? You know, is this
I think if I handed my son a CD, he wouldn't know what to do with it now. Yeah. 100 years ago, you're probably right. You know, Stone County being right on the Arkansas line, you would have assumed, I guess just when I look at the geography of it, I would assume Stone County might have been a Confederate county. But when I did the reading, it really wasn't as much a Confederate county. And I guess part of that is you have so many hills, there's no row crops around here, is there?
Very few row crops. There was a few early on in the northern part of Stone County, in the Lapland near Lawrence County and Christian County, and over toward the bottoms of the James River by Janesville. But for the most part, no, it mostly was hills and timber, cattle, fruits and vegetables was a big commodity back then.
Tomato
canning. They used to can green beans and blackberries.
So now you'd have had some use for a slavery if you were picking tomatoes, right? But really, just a specific time of the year, I would assume. But
mainly,
that's about it. Like where there was ranching, just not a lot of work to do. It didn't make economic sense. I guess that was that the same here? Or?
For the most part, but again, simple living here was one of the big things. The fishing, the hunting, you know, people found a way to live. And even if you want to consider what just a few years ago, when Silver Dollar City was only open 9 months out of the year, when people were laid off for those 3 months, they made their living hunting and fishing and you know, guiding other people, and the soft tourism industry that's so big in Stone County now today has been a real factor in helping jobs growth in Stone County, and a lot of those people who move here from other areas and say, this is the quality of life I want to live and my family to grow up in.
I read where they formed their own, you know, before, as the Civil War was gaining momentum, before it really hit Missouri, they formed Home Guards. And so Stone County did form a Home Guard, as the Southern sympathizing governor asked. Said a man named Clemel Davis was the captain of it. Then you had Company K, the 72nd Enrolled Missouri Militia, and the 14th, the later part of the Missouri Cavalry. During the war, both armies harvested crops to feed soldiers and really raided a lot of stuff. Then the town of Blue Eye, right there on the border, they said was almost completely deserted during the war because of border warfare. I didn't read about any major battles or even that many major skirmishes here, but I did read where bushwhackers were very prevalent in this area.
A lot of bushwhackers down toward the Branson West, Reed Springs area. And again, if you go back to Shepherd of the Hills time and look at some of that where there is, and where they call what they call Yoakum Pond, and then there was a place down by Reed Springs on old Highway 13 that was called Dead Man's Pond. So there was quite a bit of stuff that took place, but it was mainly to help out the people who were living poorly and were taken advantage of by other people just in trying to take their money and other things that they had. And so it was self-controlled by people who were concerned for the populace.
And I've seen where at one time a group of bushwhackers were buried or killed, and they buried them in a place called Ghost Pond. Is that the one you're talking about, Dead Man's Pond?
Dead Man's
the same
Pond.
One? Okay, yeah.
Property. Shorty Morrill's property.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I always just thought, you know, the Bald Knobbers to me was just a comedy act, right? And I just thought they were just folks acting goofy on, you know, comedy show on stage. But I read where the Bald Knobbers were actually the anti-bushwhackers and got so out of control, the state had to send the militia back down here to Southwest Missouri because they were anybody that ever met a bushwhacker, they were killing them, right? I mean, the Bald Knobbers were the bushwhackers were so out of control, the local folks formed a group of Bald Knobbers to basically kill the bushwhackers, right?
That's correct. And you know, when you're trying to enforce what's good and morally right for the people and take care of the people, you soon run out of a list of people who you're going to kill or dispose of because of their way they treat other people. So it gets to the point where, who do you do next? And thank goodness nowadays, Hank, it wouldn't be you and I that's on their list. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they created that so that they could take care of, because they were just, they run out of everybody else. And so they were just saying, okay, well, you know, he slapped his wife, so we better go down and take care of him.
Ain't it just human nature, though, that, you know, where there's no law and order, there's a void. Like, I mean, in St. Louis a lot of times. Where there's no law and order, there is a justice, vigilante justice or whatever, and the bushwhackers thought they were right, and then the Bald Knobbers come in and did a good job, honestly, of taming the bushwhacker problem. It's the only thing that did. Nobody else, I mean, in a way there was a law and order vacuum, they filled it, and then they went too far. And it just kind of goes to show, you give a man power, too much power at some point, no matter whether we're talking about Caesar or Stone County, Missouri. You give people too much power, it turns into problems. You know,
it goes the opposite direction. That's what basically one of the worst. One of the Bald Knobbers that became known to turn the Bald Knobbers bad was Wash Gibbs, and they literally hunted him down at the end of the Bald Knobber era, and actually beheaded him and took his head to Ozark and stuck it on a stake in the ground in the city of Ozark, so people could know that
on
he was
square.
Actually dead. Wow. Because he was very instrumental in an area. I belong to an organization called the Society of Ozark and Hillcrofters, and they've done a lot of study on that Bald Knobber era. And one of the places over in Taney County called Murder Rock has now been restored and now got walk paths through that Hillcrofters put in there. But that location was a famous place for a lot of the vigilante as per se, but the Bald Knobbers, but also bushwhackers, to hide in those rocks and rob the people that were traveling on the old Springfield Road, which ran through from Springfield down into Arkansas, which is now JJ Highway over there. And that area was a dangerous area. You know, I have to go back to it was a television scripted movie, or it was a movie by Clint Eastwood, but it was kind of true about this part of the country. The Outlaw Josie Wales movie was basically kind of blended from this part of the country. It was set right on the edge of the Kansas border, Oklahoma border, Missouri border. And that movie, if you ever watch that movie, it was kind of a horrible, dangerous place to live. It was, you know, one of the quotes out of that movie said you had to be able to whistle Dixie and the Battle Hymn of the Republic with equal enthusiasm. And that's what happened here too. People come through here, and you had to be real careful what you said or what you did, or they'd take you out and shoot you. My grandpa Sifford was killed just outside of Leora, Missouri, during the Civil War by bushwhackers. And the story down there is on that. And that's the same thing that happened in this part of the country. Yeah. Dangerous, just, it was a bad area. You'd been better off to be deep south or deep north.
Yeah. So at some point, though, the state came in to get rid of the ball knobbers, right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, I've read in some cases they just said, go back to your farm and knock it off. And in some cases they actually went and put them in prison or mostly killed them, right?
Right. Right,
and there was, again, the state came in and there was a lot of allegations of no due process. Just once they caught the guy that they were looking for, they shot him and went on, at some point, went on back to Jeff City. But, it's very easy for us now to look back and say, that's crazy. But back then, folks were trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't mm-hmm. thinking of how posterity would view it, right? Mm-hmm. They just were getting it, like you said, taken advantage of by everybody that came through. They just needed some calm, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Those vigilante groups were common all over Missouri, though, down in your part of the country where you're from.
Absolutely.
They called them the Night Riders. And if somebody yep. was messing around or would not taking care of their family or whatever, they'd deliver a bundle of switches and put them on the front porch and said, you better wake up.
I'm from a place called Stringtown because they mm-hmm. pretty much lynched a guy.
Yeah.
And they called it String because they hung him, mm-hmm. which leads me to Roscoe Red Jackson.
The last legal hanging in the state of Missouri. And you have to emphasize it was a legal hanging in Missouri.
It was public too, right?
Yeah, it was public. There was a big fence built around where it took place, but where the, the
gallows
was, people could see. And a lot of people could see through the knot holes of the boards that was in the fence. But yeah, it was a public hanging.
What did he do?
Murder, wasn't it?
Murdered a taxi cab driver, a lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what did it, huh? He murdered a woman, right?
And the sheriff who hung him campaigned on the fact that he would hang him because he'd been in jail here forever and nobody would take on the task of actually hanging him.
I believe that happened in Taney County, didn't it? And then
The hanging happened here.
I know that.
You're talking about the murder?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That happened
yeah.
in Taney
yes.
County.
I think,
murder.
Yeah.
Was
why
here.
Was he in jail here then?
Change of venue yeah. type thing in
okay.
regards to.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
have got the noose in the showcase right out there. On the
is it still there, Hank?
Yeah.
I thought they took it down.
No, it's there.
What?
No, there was a big fight over that, but yeah. anyway.
So it was about 4 years ago. So I do a lot of radio interviews around the state, most every morning, some market. And it's funny to hear people that, there is a narrative our city friends love to stick on anybody from Southern Missouri. And they had no idea. Roscoe Jackson was a white man, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I always heard the story. It was not had nothing to do with it. He killed a white woman, correct?
Right.
They had nothing, race was just not part of it. But there was, during COVID, right, everybody was voting in different manners of ways. And there was the display, the historical display about the last hanging here, and I saw that you had some folks in the cities try to make a fuss over it. I tried to explain to them, I know that you want this to be something racist, but in fact, it's just not.
Yeah.
There's just no racial element to this, and it is a historical thing. That's notable, and I understand how deeply, badly you would love to see a group of Southern Missourians being quite racist. This is just not the. You're going to have to find something else. But it's funny how they in their minds, everything is about race, and they just couldn't quite understand. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. And I said, I had to go look it up, because at the time, I mean, it's been a few years ago, that's why I asked. It was a white man that committed a murder of a white woman, and a white sheriff hung him under all legal, you know, following the law. This is when, I don't think hangings were outlawed for a long time, were they? It was some time before hangings was actually made illegal, right?
Yes.
After this, it was the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. So anyhow, it was so hard to explain to people how, I understand what you think, it's just not, that's just not here, you know.
And that showcase is out there currently. It has other facts with it also,
sure,
other items besides the news. But it election day right now, what we do is we cover that over, because it has offended some whenever they come up to vote, because they do come up here to the third floor.
Well, you don't want to offend anybody, right? I mean, I respect that part. You don't want to put anybody out while they're trying to vote, but it is a historical piece.
And part of the thing was, it was a real gruesome murder, the way I understand it. It wasn't just he killed him. I think it was a pretty gruesome murder that he committed in the process. Yeah. So I think that's what really brought it to the forefront of him being hanged over the murder and stuff. So
we want to take a moment here, take a break. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsors, Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association of Counties, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, letting us come to places like Stone County, talk about the history of Missouri. We'll be right back.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what ifs and more about the why nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at HALO, Heartland Area Landowners. HALO is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. HALO members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about HALO and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm. That's heartlandowners.farm.
Welcome back to Show Missouri, the History of Missouri, one county at a time. We are here in Stone County, Missouri, one of the most beautiful counties in the state, right here in southwest Missouri, right on the Arkansas line. You will not find a more beautiful place in the entire world than Stone County. As we were talking about the history, now I'd like to, if you don't mind, Commissioner Weathers, tell me, where do folks work here in Stone County? Give me the rundown.
Say that one more time.
Where do folks work at here in Stone County?
Where do they work at? Well, one of our largest employers is school districts. Mm-hmm. So the schools, during the tourist season, they're working at Silver Dollar City. A lot of small business. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in this area. So you have lots of small business owners. We have heating and air companies, roofers. We have a large population of retired folks.
Sure.
So there is that large population, but that large population, those retired folks, they need the service industry. So it's been a really great place for entrepreneurs to thrive. So that's really the places, the big ones to work are going to be Silver Dollar City. They're going to be working for the schools. What else am I missing, guys?
Well, again, the soft tourism industry. Mm-hmm. Quite a few years ago, back in the late 80s, we did some surveys and come together and talked about what does Stone County want to be. That's when Branson was really starting to boom, and it was defining it to be the music capital and the type of show and the tourists that they were targeting. So in Stone County, we said we don't want to be Branson, Missouri. We want to be Stone County. And so we targeted the soft tourism industry, stuff like Silver Dollar City, which is a soft tourist industry, the fishing, the trails, the hiking, the biking, and just, again, the quality of life that's here with the nature of Stone County has really developed with the lake and stuff, and it really has been a driving force, not only for the retired people, and with them coming in, as you said, with the service industry needs that they have of maintaining homes and all that, that just really helped us grow in regards to Stone County and what it had to offer people to live here.
A lot of recreation businesses and tied with the lake, you know. Of course, that's kind of seasonal, although our seasons are stretching out longer and longer, it seems like, every year, especially with Silver Dollar City doing their winter projects.
Well, I'd say you can't even hardly get in there at Christmas time.
It's a packed place. So,
yeah.
You know, which is good for the area, good for the economy here in Stone County.
Yeah, because they used to close around October and not open until April.
Yeah.
Now they're closing basically the 1st of January and opening the 1st of March.
Yeah, March, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, that really made a difference in regards to adding the other tourist and recreational.
Well, tell me about
this. We had an interesting thing happen here during COVID. A lot of homes down here were second homes. Mm-hmm. Our population really boomed during COVID and after COVID because those people that were either went remote working, they came here and they stayed on Table Rock Lake in their homes and they stayed here as remote workers. So we have a large population now of remote workers in Stone County. Just because they were able to almost retire early and still keep their jobs. People bought second homes here in hopes of retiring someday, and COVID really let a lot of those folks that were not yet to retirement age come and enjoy the lake and stay here.
Well, kind of like yourself, right? I mean, I could see a lot of folks during COVID. I mean, we had that at Wapapello, where I'm from, you had it at Clearwater. You could... There was a joke, you could see the pile of masks from the St. Louis people would be left in the parking lot because they were finally somewhere where they were free. And of course, you know, when they get back to St. Louis, they put that mask on and act like they'd been in an asylum all weekend. But when they come down to Southeast Missouri, they'd be free and they loved it. The Lake of the Ozarks, you couldn't keep people out of the lake. But if they'd go back home, then they'd be like, oh, well, we've got to, you know, pretend like this is still.
That's what happened here.
But they didn't leave, right?
Yeah, the COVID really didn't hurt Stone County as much as what we anticipated that it would. Because people were coming to their outside activities, you know, spending a lot of time on the lake and
camping.
And fortunately spending money here, too. So
our campgrounds stayed full. I mean, we have a lot of resorts on Table Rock Lake, and a lot of those resorts are cabins. And so that became very popular because a lot of the resort owners would tell you they're in their third and their fourth generation of families that are bringing their family to stay on Table Rock Lake for vacations.
Yeah.
So family, years after years, generations. So when COVID hit, they all started calling their favorite resort, and a lot of people rented that resort cabin that they usually spend the summers on, and they stayed in it for 3 months during COVID. I talked to a lot of resort owners at the time. You know, there was distancing, so there were rules like you may be staying in a resort in a cabin with a dock, but the rule was one person could be on the dock at a time. So one person had to go to the dock and get on their boat and leave, and then the next person could go on the dock. So there was still some distancing practice, but all of our resorts filled up down here during COVID, and we sustained a tax base. They shopped at Walmart, they did Walmart deliveries. We fared well during COVID.
In Butler County, we did COVID for about 2 weeks. And then, you know, Vince Lampe, he pretty much said, no one's saying COVID and we're moving on. And that was pretty much Butler County's response was, leave
mm-hmm.
us alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's folks mm-hmm. that had good reason to take it very seriously and did. And some folks, most folks, I would say, did not. But it was definitely a boon. There were not nearly what you all have seen, but I think all over Missouri, where there were recreation areas, people would go there, and then they decide they liked it, kind of like you did before then. They decided, hey, this is beautiful. I think I want to live here. And they do. Talking about the schools, Tony, give me the schools rundowns.
Well, the schools are interesting. Stone County has quite a bit of schools. We have the Blue Eye, we have the Reed Spring, we have the Galena, and of course, Galena School has the grade school over at Avesville, mm-hmm. and then we have the Crane School. But people from Stone County go to Marionville, Billings, Nixa.
You got Hurley.
You've also
got Hurley. Oh, got Hurley. Yeah, I missed Hurley. Thanks. And they also go over to Ozark. So at Penning, Spokane.
Where did your family go to school at Kimling City?
So my son is middle school at Reed Spring.
Okay.
And my daughter was a 13-year senior at Reed Spring. I sat on the school board for Reed Spring. One of the things that our community has that's really, we're fortunate, is we have what's called now the Table Rock Career Center, which used to be the Gibson Tech Center. So within this, that's a track for people in our entire community that they might not be going to college. So we give them opportunities to get a certificate in marine repair, auto body. We graduate kids that are CNAs, so they can go right to work in the medical field. We've just started with a law enforcement class. So these high school kids, and it's a sending school. We have 19 different schools that send students into this career center that sits in Reed Spring. But we have from Branson, like you had said, over into Galena, all of the schools in the area send their kids over here either for a half day in the morning or a half day of the evening. And these are those kids, we're graduating kids from high school that are going right into a career. We have a welding class, we have 32 welding bays. So we have most of our students go right into a welding program over in Oklahoma somewhere, and then they go right to work at the pipelines. And that's a project for all of the students in the area. Our schools are really doing a great job in this area. They're making changes in the way they're educating kids. Cody Hershey, the superintendent from Reed Springs, just testified in DC last week. And so he spent 3 days with Congressman Burleson out in DC talking about the way we're doing things different right here in Stone County with education.
So who's the rival for Galena? Is it football? Is it basketball? Who is it?
Well, Galena doesn't have a football team. Most of that's the basketball.
Who's the rival? And
Crane and Galena has had one for years.
Yeah.
But Galena will take on almost anybody. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd play Reed if they could get a game.
Yeah, we, in youth sports, Reed's played Galena a lot. I've been coaching youth sports for 20 years here in Reed Springs. So we played a lot of, Reed Springs has, it's an interesting, Reed Springs has always been a rival with Hollister.
Hollister.
Gotcha.
So if you're in high school right now, the high school kids are in Hollister and Reed Springs, they're rivals. But this youth sports that have come up have become a rival with Forsyth. So when our current middle schoolers move into high school, the rival is gonna change. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird because some Hollister kids from Reed's moved to Hollister. They were friends, so they still very competitive on the football field, but they weren't necessarily rivals. They got to know each other and became more friendly, but Forsyth is really Reed Springs' rival for the future.
That's the guy right there that can tell you about sports rivals. He played, if you ever seen him stand up, you'll know he's 6'7", I think, if I'm not mistaken. He was our center for Reed Spring High School. And I know good and well, who was your biggest rival at that time?
Well, at that time it was Crane and Blue Eye, and we were in Southwest Central League Conference, which was made up of the schools here in Stone County. And Reed wasn't as big of a school back then as what they have grown, you know, over the years. So now the other schools are kind of catching up, you know, to Reed in size. Our competition, you know, we had always had a rival with Blue Eye. Blue Eye had some good teams, basketball. Yeah. So we had, yeah, they didn't, mm-hmm. didn't have football.
We still have a good program down there in Blue Eye. They
yeah.
Tell me about the politics here. It feels like this part, most of rural Missouri was very Democrat and then switched over at different levels. Seems like this part of the state was Republican for a long time.
Yeah. Stone County is still Republican.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could probably count the Democrats on one hand that are here in Stone County.
That will admit it.
Yeah. And that's right. The mostly for the Republican, but I think that has to do with the rural way of life we have and the entrepreneurship that's here and stuff. I think that common sense is one of the key things that drives the political parties in Stone County. Yeah. And, you know, the moral issues. So if you go down the list of the Republican Party, it's pretty easy to say why Stone County stands more Republican than it does the Democrat.
Even historically, though, if you were a, if you go back and you were a Union County, that is one way that it continued on. If you go back and you weren't a heavy agriculture county, the Depression was bad on everybody, but not as devastating maybe. And, you know, it really, you know, in my lifetime, it went from Depression-era Democrats in rural Missouri to now, I mean, even the Boot Hill. When Trump ran, there were guys that won elections that filed nobody ever heard of, but they were Republican. They won, beat incumbents forever.
And who would ever thought Boot Hill would be that way?
Yeah, never. No one ever would. Let me talk about some of the notable folks I've found. Ned Locke, the ringmaster from Bozo the Clown. Kelton probably don't remember that, but I do. Congressman Dewey Jackson, a member of the United States Congress from here. Dave Duncan, the former pitching coach of the Cardinals. Now, who am I missing? I think you have a guy. I always talk about if you were ever Speaker of the House or President of the Senate, I'd bring you up. I think your state senator, Brad Hudson's got a chance to maybe lead his chamber.
Brad Hudson. Yeah, Brad and of course, Dewey Short strong. Was from yeah. the area strong. And his family. But
Doyle Childers was another one. Doyle Childers was a good leader.
Yeah, Doyle Childers.
Part of the country.
You know, was a rep and then a senator and then led the DNR for quite a few years and also worked in regards to helping the timber industry, not only in Stone County, but Southwest Missouri. So Doyle's been great. But Brad Hudson is an up-and-coming and stuff. And I think, it's a good example of what Stone County stands for as it relates to our common sense point of view in regards to approaching the issues that face the citizens today.
I don't know if I'm gonna
tell him or not. Speaking of Ned Locke, I knew Ned Locke.
Yeah.
He was a jolly person.
He was a jolly person.
He made a good clown because he was a happy person.
And wasn't he involved in Kimberling City politics?
Yeah.
He was mayor, wasn't he?
He was, and he was a realtor.
A realtor.
Real estate company down there.
Yeah, knew Ned.
Now, I assume Dave Duncan lives on a cabin on the lake somewhere around here, right?
You say Dave?
Yeah.
Dave used to have a house down at Kimberling City. I think that he sold that.
Is that right?
Yeah, there
I
was
believe
a,
so, and moved to Arizona, I believe.
Down on Hoodall Point, there was a whole group of them at that time.
It's in Hunter's Glen.
Yeah, when Dave Duncan was he pitching coach, right, at the time?
For the Cardinals.
And at that time, he had that cabin down here off Joe Bald Road, and at one point it was like that was like the Cardinal subdivision. There was a bunch of them down here that had houses. So
Dave
it was
I knew Dave and his wife, or no, Dave and his wife. She passed away, Janine, back several years ago from cancer. But anyway, I knew both of them. I had a service business for several years, and I used to do work for them. So Dave was a super nice guy.
Maybe the best pitching coach in the history of baseball.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's something unique about this area, and Branson's a lot of that way too, is there is a lot of people in the entertainment world that are down here. They have homes on Table Rock Lake. You'll see them out and about. And there's just something about the area. We just kind of leave them alone. We let them enjoy Stone County. I mean, there's been a lot of people. Like Brooks and Dunn have been here a lot. I mean, so there's a lot of those type of people. They come in and out of Stone County. They fly into the Branson West Airport. They spend time with the Hershen family, and they just enjoy Table Rock Lake just like the rest of us and enjoy our natural resources, and we just kind of leave them be here. I mean,
they come for this that relaxation and the peace and quiet, and the people allow them that. And, you know, when I was on the commission, talked to several of them, and they said, you know, we could live over in Taney County and Branson, but they always want us to, you know, talk to them or engage with them. Here, people are, I'm just one of their neighbors and stuff, and it's always been that way. And that's, again, one of the great things about Stone County and why we're the type of county that we are.
Yeah. There's a lot of them here. We just don't talk about them because they want to be here. They want to enjoy time with their family. They come here, and they can be themselves and not be hounded for autographs and that sort of thing. So
and we can even take that farther in regards to some of the people that lived here. When I was on the commission, we had several things going on, and you meet people and they had been working for NASA or they were an engineer in regards to building nuclear plants. I mean, the list goes on the type of people that moved here and retired here just because it was that type of atmosphere that they could live in with in peace and not just, well, they just be a neighbor to anybody else.
Yeah.
This used to be Don Johnson's stomping grounds. Is that right? Miami Vice.
Yeah.
In fact, he still comes back here.
Yeah, Don Johnson was actually raised in the edge of Berry County, right over the line in Stone County called Flat Creek. But he went to Crane School till he was a junior in high school. And then he moved to Oklahoma because his mom and dad had separated. And he wanted to get into acting school, and there just wasn't that much in Crane.
Yeah.
Or even SMS at that time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me, as my favorite part of the show, before I ask our last question, I want to thank our sponsors one more time. The Missouri Farm Bureau, Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, and the Missouri Association of Counties let us come to places like Stone County and talk about the very rich history in this very beautiful place. But I want to ask you, Commissioner Weathers, if you had someone come here to Stone County, where would you take them and what would you show them about Stone County?
You know, I think there's the things that just pop right off the top of your head, right? You got to see Silver Dollar City, or you got to see the lake. But I'll tell a story. When the first time I came to visit here, and I came into town, I came in through the old downtown Reed Springs, and I stopped at a place to get gas. And we laughed because the place was called Fueler Up. And that was just kind of funny, right? Because that's what you said when you get gas, was Fueler Up. So I got out and I went to go in to pay for my gas. And someone stopped and held the door for me. Now, I lived right outside of Chicago my entire life. First thing I did was I put my hand on my back pocket to protect my wallet because I thought they were going to pick my pocket as I walked by. That's where I came from, right? So I think if somebody was coming here to visit, I would take them out where the people are. I would take them to a festival in Crane, or I would take them down to Kimberling City where there's music that Larry started years ago. I would take them out where the people are, because I think to really understand Stone County, you just got to get out and meet the people that live here. We live a way of life here, I believe, in Stone County that a lot of people don't get to live. And I think it's the people. I would take them out to wherever the people are of Stone County and meet the people, because I think you just fall in love with the people that live here, and so many of them just become family. I was the first one to move here in my family, and you know, I have two grandkids here now, my two kids. My dad, he says I drug him back to Arkansas. He's 82, he lives with me, and so he's kind of back in the Ozarks, White River, where it all started for him. But it's just the people. We got to meet the people.
Commissioner Sifford, what would you take someone here in Stone County?
Well, I think one thing, if we've kind of skirted the edges around about everything here, about the beauty of the country, and I think the culture is naturally a big part of it, of the friendliness that you see here. But one of the things I think I'd do is I'd get them in the car and take them for just a ride around Stone County, show them something. But even in the edges of Taney County, which the county lines don't mean a whole lot to me, to be honest with you. But there's one place called the Sycamore Log Church, and that's where I attend. And it's one of the oldest churches in this part of the country. It's all logs, and it was built back in the 1930s when people were doing brush arbors, because this part of the country, nobody could afford to build actually too many churches. So they started with a brush arbor, and it started getting cold, and the people didn't want to quit getting together. So they went down on the creek, on Roark Creek, which runs behind Shepherd of the Hills, and they cut these sycamore logs and came back and built this old church. And about 9 years ago, it was almost sitting vacant almost and being used just very little. And so the trustees asked a group of us if we'd like to bring our group over there, and we did. And that's been 9 years ago, and now there's like 75 to 80 people attending that thing. And in the summer, there's so many you can't get inside, so you have to bring your lawn chairs. So I think there's a big part of our culture when you talk about the friendliness of it and you talk about the genuineness of it. I believe it comes from also a basic Christian background that teaches that type of attitude towards your neighbors. Here, we trust you until you can't be trusted. Whereas in other places, they don't trust you and here we give you the opportunity to prove who you are. And I think that's a critical part of what makes this area what it is. And that's the way it was even back in the day.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Part of our culture that is still here. I mean, you don't have to look too hard around this part of the country to find a church. you know. And so that's one thing that I think that I wouldn't necessarily say take them to a church as per se, because I'm not about denominations and things like that. But I think that, going to those areas, you see some really unique things. Plus, one of the most beautiful caves in this part of the country is Talking Rocks Caverns, which is probably, used to be known as Fairy Caverns, which years and years ago was the same owners of that were the same owners of Marvel Cave, Silver Dollar City. And so Talking Rocks Cavern is probably one of the most beautiful caverns I've ever been in my life. It's absolutely fantastic. Probably one of the best kept secrets of this part of the country, you know.
Well, tell me where you like to eat. Give me your favorite place to eat.
Pardon me?
Where's your favorite place to eat?
Favorite place to eat.
Restaurant. Oh, yeah. Favorite place to eat.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get my hearing aid at home.
Yeah, depends on which meal.
I'll tell you what my favorite place to eat is.
Judy's Kitchen, no cap.
My wife's kitchen.
In case she listens to this, right?
In case she listens to this. But without that being said, I think that probably in this part of the country would be Maul's Place down in Kimberling City. You can't beat it. It's good home cooking. And you can get there and go get a good breakfast. But also one of the other was well known, and it's changed a little bit, was Billy Gale's, which was an older lady by the name of Gail, and her husband Billy started over on 265.
Yeah, 265. Mm-hmm.
And built it into just an absolute wonderful place to eat. You had to get in line for hours before you could get in. And then it was bought out by a chain that owns Flat Creek. But they're still maintaining some of that quality there. So those are that's my favorite place to eat.
I think they still have the 14, 16 inch
they
pancake.
Do. They still got a
pancake that looks like an
hubcap. Yeah,
looks like an Edsel hubcap.
Mr. Long, where would you take somebody here?
Well, I'm kind of like Larry in regards to somebody coming to Stone County and having been involved in so much of Stone County in its growth and through the years. I think I'd take them to a lot of different places, you know, because each community has something to offer that I think people would really pique their interest, whether it be the Crane Creek or whether it be the Spring Creek over at Hurley, whether it be downtown Reed that has the spring and the artistry that they have down there. Cape Fear is an interesting area where the lake is, and you can just take down almost any side road and get a panoramic view of not only nature, but the lake along with it. And then when you get down to the south end of the county, not skipping Kimberling by any means, but getting down around Blue Eye and that area, and Car Lane, Dogwood Canyon is just an amazing place in regards to what they've done there and tried to preserve not only nature, but what they've done to build up. So I would be taking them to a lot of different places. And, you know, again, when it comes to food, there's so many places, depending on what meal you're eating, biscuits and gravy, or whether you want to have a good ham steak, brown beans and cornbread. There's places around here that I tell you, you just once
hungry.
You get in, you never want to leave.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, Commissioner, where would you take somebody here in Stone County?
I think that I would take them, like Larry said earlier, around through the whole county, just driving around through these towns. There's a lot of history in Stone County. A lot of these small towns around here, you know, have got buildings in them that's been there for 7,500 years old, you know, and if people want to go back in time, just driving through there and looking at those old buildings, it's fascinating. You know, we've got some newer developments. Branson West and Kimberling City, you know, are both considered newer. But, you know, the Reed Spring, the Galena, the Hurley, I was always fascinated with Hurley, especially. It's a real small town, the smallest town in Stone County, but there was an old wheel, a mill there that had a wheel on it, turning wheel, a water wheel, and the creek fed that, you know, and turned it. And I remember that. I would love it if that was still there, but of course it burnt several years back. But I always thought that was the neatest thing in Stone County. But there's a lot of history in Stone County. If somebody just wanted to drive around, a lot of beauty in it. You know, you can go up and down these hills. Some you can see miles and miles away. You can see down into Arkansas on clear days, you know, from some of the peaks around here. So, you know, there's just a whole lot of beauty here, fascination throughout the whole county.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for the hospitality. Appreciate the stories. And this has been Show Me Missouri, the History of Missouri, this time in Stone County, Missouri. We'll see you next week somewhere here in Missouri.